Dance Lansing is a collaborative aiming to create a diverse dance community and to enrich opportunities for people involved in the world of dance. Lead partners include the Happen Dance Troupe and Lansing Community College's Performing Arts Department, but many other local dance groups are also involved. This Thursday, Dance Lansing has a presentation scheduled for Wharton Center's Passant Theater in East Lansing. We're joined by two key players in this presentation. Lisa Whiting Dobson is the organization's artistic director. Welcome again, Lisa.
Thank you.
Also, Dr. Juanita Suarez is the associate professor of dance at the State University of New York, SUNY. That's in Brockport, New York, near Rochester. Dr. Suarez, welcome.
Thank you.
I should say welcome back because you're a Lansing native, I understand.
I am definitely, yes.
Well done. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Lisa Whiting Dobson, explain for us what a typical season for Dance Lansing looks like. What do you do throughout the course of a year?
Well, the biggest thing we do is our summer dance festival. And in April and May, we do auditions for both choreographers and dancers. Anyone who's 14 years or older can audition. However, mostly we have college students and adults that dance with us. We do, this year we had 70 original works created. The dancers choreograph and work for about 5 to 6 weeks, and then we go out in the community. Last week we did 4 performances, highly staged performances at Dart Auditorium. And then this week we're at Robin Theater, Micah Gallery, Allen Marketplace. We're at Passant Theater, we're at Arts Night Out, we're at Lansing Mall, and we're at the Jazz Fest. So we go throughout the community and present this work. The idea is to get dancers out dancing and to build community support for dancers as well.
What's the larger aim of Dance Lansing here? At the end of the day, what are you trying to make happen?
To develop opportunities for dancers. I've always noticed that in theater communities, and I stage manage sometimes, and I stage manage for both theatrical productions and also dance productions. And with the theatrical community, if you're an actor in the Lansing area, there are tons of opportunities. You can be 3, you can be 80, you can be a professional, you can be a beginner, and there's opportunities for you to work throughout your entire life. For dance, most dancers are tied to a studio. And so once they turn 18, that critical mass goes away, and there's not opportunities for adult dancers. And so many of our dancers leave town, but for those that stay in Lansing, we want opportunities for them to do high-level work, to have audiences that appreciate them, and to be able to stage their own ideas, because dance is so much more than steps. It's an art, you know.
And we will get to Dr. Suarez here momentarily, because you play a key role here in the performance this Thursday at Passant Theater. But talk to us more broadly. What will people at who attend the Passant performance, what kind of performances are they going to see?
Well, with the Passant, that's a little bit different in that we had this residency with Dr. Suarez that she can tell you about, but it's really been wonderful. She's been an instructor. She's been a friend. She has opened our minds to so many different opportunities, but she is going to present her own work. She's done 3 original pieces while she's here, and she also is going to do a lectum of some of her work that she does at the State University of New York.
And Thursday's piece, Dr. Suarez, The Book of Esther, Migrant Reflections. This is a really personal creation, I take it. What's it about?
Well, actually, it's Book of Esther, Migrant Revelations. That particular dance that's going to be performed by the Passant group is based on research I started way back last year when I started my sabbatical. And it came out of a transformative, what I would call a revelation for me. I had been told a long time ago by my husband, who had his past life read by a woman in New York City, who was hired by Roxanne Quimby.
Let's slow down a little bit. He had his past life read. What does that mean?
There are women and men who are capable of reading a person's past lives and telling them the different experiences they lived through.
Okay.
So Roxanne Quimby, who was the former owner but the founder of Burt's Bees, hired John to work for her, and she was so fascinated by him that she wanted to see what his past lives were involving. Mm. So in one of those revelations, she said to my husband that at some point your wife has something to do with Esther of the Bible. Mm. And so I was intrigued. I read the book, did not understand, made no connections. Then I checked out the movie that came out. It was a rough version of the Bible. reread the Bible chapter again, returned to it thinking...
What movie?
It was called Book of Esther.
Okay.
And rereading, then I said, well, I have to go deeper. I can't just approach this from a surface level. So I decided to take the story, break it down in terms of the characters, what they symbolically meant in translation, and then tried to find if there was a parallel metaphor about Esther that also applied to the migrant situation. Because I had been reading about migrants in my sabbatical, because that was the focus, because I used to be a migrant myself.
Of course. Uh-huh. What kind of role, what kind of impact did your own experience as a migrant farm worker have in the creation of the piece that we'll see on Thursday?
Well, it had to do with the sense of displacement. I felt that way and had felt like that for a long, long time, a sense of displacement, being moved from one location to another, having to learn English only back at a time when Spanish was not allowed. I was told when I was 5 years old, I had a note pinned to my sweater my first day of school, kindergarten, and it told my family that I could no longer speak Spanish anymore, and that if I were to be successful in the schools, I had to speak only English, and it had to happen at home. So that particular policy created a huge fragmentation within my family, particularly my parents. My mom wanted me to succeed. My father was very angry. And so there was a dissonance there. And so he kind of withdrew from our family because he felt defeated.
Your father?
Yes. And because he felt like he was being conquered again one more time because of economics, racism, you know, the whole poverty.
Were your parents in disagreement then with regard to the language policy? I mean, one of them thought it would be better for you to immerse yourself in English.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my mother did because she wanted me to succeed. Mm-hmm. She wanted me to have something that she didn't have. Mm-hmm. And my father felt like it was like cutting my tongue, cutting your tongue off. And it felt like a slap in the face to his culture as well. So there was that part.
We're talking with Dr. Juanita Suarez, Associate Professor of Dance at the State University of New York, SUNY Brockport near Rochester. She is one of the artists involved in this Thursday's Dance Lansing presentation at the Passant Theater here in East Lansing. It is entitled The Book of Esther, Migrant Revelations. Lisa Whiting Dobson, talk to us about the kind of role that a piece like this has in Dance Lansing.
Well, Dance Lansing, we do a number of pieces. And as I said, this year we had 70 original pieces of choreography. And so throughout the rest of our season, those other pieces are being shown. But we also try to do a residency each year. We try to bring in somebody that is that would be challenging to us, that would bring new ideas to the community, that would grow the community. And so the piece on Thursday is going to be kind of the result of that residency. The rest of what's being shown this week has to do with these other 70 pieces that were created. And I also want to mention that Dance Lansing just doesn't stop next week, that we do 35 performances throughout the year. We do original choreography showcases once a month at Micah Gallery. We do some things at Robin Theater. We do some things at Lansing Mall. We have all kinds of workshops and classes for people. We also have started Choreo Lab, which is an opportunity for seasoned choreographers that are in our area to have a show produced so that they can do a half-hour show of their own. We have 6 people that are going to do that next year. So we're really kind of flourishing in terms of people being creative and getting an opportunity to produce choreography. But Thursday is an example of the high-level experience we try to bring people in our community.
And I would also kind of like to add to that,
sure,
because I have been a member of this process called Dance 2050 Symposium, in which educators in higher education are trying to figure out, will dance survive to the year 2050? And if it will, what will it look like? And we came to the realization that dance in higher education is very isolated and insular. We have people that go to the university, they study in a theater, they have to pay tuition to get into the theater, to get into the university, and we feel that it keeps us away from the community. So we collectively have been working on this for now 5 years, and we came up with this idea that dance has to go into the community. Mm-hmm. Well, lo and behold, I walk into Happen Dance, and what are they doing? They are doing exactly what we were thinking dance should be doing.
Oh, interesting.
At an exemplary level. Mm-hmm. I have never experienced anything quite like this. And so I'm going to be using this as a as a point of focus for a lot of conferences to talk about how there is an actual living example of what we're talking about, how dance will survive.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about the Book of Esther here. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit more about your history, just a few more details with regard to your history as a migrant worker yourself. How old were you when you started working in the field?
Well, I was born in San Antonio, and we migrated north to Michigan when I was about 2, going on 3. My sister was born and just had been born, and we came up north. And I worked between the ages of 3 and 5. And I worked in the summers with my parents. I remember getting up very early in the morning, seeing my mother making tortillas to pack our lunch, my father carrying me in the cradle of his arms, placing me in the back seat where I would fall asleep again. And then by around 7, I would wake up to the fields that we were going to be working in. And I remember—
3 years old you were working?
Yes, and I was not the only child out in the fields. Back then, children were working in the fields then.
What years are we talking about?
1953, here? 55.
53 to 55.
Mm-hmm. Since then, child labor laws have changed, you know.
Understood.
Yeah. And so I remember picking different crops, carrots, potatoes, apples, cherries, mint, beans, green beans. So we basically spent all day bent over. And I remember I was treated as a worker. My parents knew that I could not wander off because they couldn't babysit me. They had to pick. And so I worked, and that's where I basically got my work ethic, I think. But I also received a lot of mentorship through my parents because I was with them the whole time, which is unusual for a child from birth to 5 to be with their parents the whole time, today especially, because most people, they send their, because of finances and the economy, they have to place their children in nurseries at a very young, you know, right after birth almost sometimes. And so I was very blessed to have that, and I think that shaped my personality a lot.
But did your field work end at the age of 5 then? Is that
what
you're saying?
Okay. Yes, pretty much.
So at that point, did you start, was your life more conventional, U.S. American kind of experience?
Uh-huh. Well, more, I would say more Western, because my cousins who lived in Texas, who stayed behind, they lived kind of in a compound environment where the parents were living in one house. One of my cousins lives behind that house. Another lives beside the house and then next to that house. And then another lives a block away. So there is very strong communal connections that take place in that kind of living environment. Mm-hmm. We moved to the north where we became part of this nuclear model where you live, a single family lives in a single house in isolation from the rest of the community of their own family.
Where in Michigan did you work? You mentioned Mint. I got to thinking whether you worked in Clinton County here.
It's very possible. We worked in a lot of different places that I still
couldn't
remember.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we were up in Hart, Michigan, Battle Creek, Kalamazoo, the Upper Peninsula as well.
I want to, in the time that we have left, I don't want to spoil the experience for people who are going to the performance on Thursday, but I'm wondering if you could talk just a little bit about how you are going to tell your story. To what extent is this a personal story? To what extent is the Book of Esther about you and what you remember and your experiences?
Well, it's a merging of two things, of the personal and the universal.
Okay.
The personal is drawing from that sense of displacement, and not just displacement as a migrant, but what happens when a person, in my case learning English only, all of a sudden is separated from her family, because that became a quantum jump in terms of class from lower to middle class. Mm-hmm. And so that leap separated me from my family to a very large degree. The rest of my family does speak English, but then I went to college and that moved me further and further until I completed the PhD and found myself looking back and saying, where did I come from? Where are my people, you know.
As a choreographer, would you mind talking about how you take that experience of yours and translating it into movement on the stage?
Sure.
It's kind of a it's something about which I know nothing.
It's understandable.
How does a choreographer? How do you think about taking an experience as profound as that and translating it into dance?
Well, I usually work from the idea of distilling the human language that we perform every day. And what I mean by distillation, meaning you take an idea. For instance, if you're going to create a gesture that suggests that you're hiding, you put your hands in front of your face, right? And people get the message that you're hiding. But there's a title for that. It's called hieratic gestures. It was a term created by Dr. John Wilson of Arizona State University. And he said, there's a universal language of gesture that we all understand, like stop means, that means you know when someone does
this. Hold up your hand.
Yeah. So you take some of those things, and some of the things that are not so obvious, you distill them to abstraction so that people get the idea without being literally told this is what it means, and they get the feeling, the nuance of that. And we do that because we have, especially in modern dance, but I think this is true of all the arts, that there's a deep understanding that the audience is highly intelligent and capable of understanding what you're trying to communicate to them.
You're in the middle of a sabbatical year this year from SUNY Brockport to learn more about the Mexican migrant experience, both here in Lansing as well as in San Antonio during the mid-20th century. What kinds of things are you learning?
Well, I'm learning that the migrant situation has become epic. It's a global phenomenon now, and now they're referred to as refugees, and they have different titles. You know, a refugee is a person who is escaping a country because of violence or poverty or serious poverty. And the migrant is moving from Mexico to the United States because of poverty and lack of economic opportunities. But I have found that that idea and the concept of migrant is vast. And so that, in a literal sense, is what my work is attending to. But from my research, I have found, and I am finding, that everyone is a migrant. And some of us are feeling that migranthood in terms of like senior citizens or people who are have different abilities, intellectual abilities, who are not able to understand like the transmigration of technology in terms of how it's making things really difficult because change is coming at a velocity, a high velocity, as Bill Gates predicted it would be in the 21st century. So many of us are trying to cope with keeping up with the changes so that we're still in the same country we were in before, intellectually.
Just one more quick question here. We're just about out of time, but talk to us about the young performers who will be performing your piece. How old are these people? How does it look? Who are you working with?
They're young. The youngest, I can't, Emma.
You have a 10-year-old.
10-year-olds, you know, 10-year-olds to
well,
older.
To stay true to reality there, it's got to be a young person.
Yes, and so part of the choreographic job has been to try to translate my experience in language that they understand. And I think Lisa did a beautiful job when she kind of stopped the rehearsal for a moment because she noticed that they kept smiling in the performance of it. And she called them over and she goes, let's talk a little bit about this. Try to imagine what it's like to be asked to leave home with your mother or your father and to leave behind the rest of your family. And you're going to go into an alien territory. You have no idea what's ahead of you. You have no idea how the people are going to treat you. You don't know if you're even going to live through it. Think about that. And so they seem to understand that.
That resonated, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. The work is called The Book of Esther, Migrant Revelations. It is contemporary dance at the Passant Theater this Thursday in East Lansing inside the Wharton Center. We've been talking with Dr. Juanita Suarez, who's the creator of The Book of Esther, a Lansing native, worked in the fields between the ages of 3 and 5 here all over the state of Michigan. She is today the Associate Professor of Dance at the State University of New York, SUNY in Brockport. Lisa Whiting Dobson is Dance Lansing's Artistic Director. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Great conversation.
Thank you, Mark.